What path should you take when there is a fork in life's road? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Hey, what do you do when you're going your way and then you come to a situation, you come to a decision, you come to some kind of a fork in the road, and there's a sign that says God's way, and there's a sign that says my way?
Welcome to this edition of From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Today, we're going to hear a lesson from the book of Ezekiel about the direction that God would have you and me to take when we come to a fork in the road. That's the title of the lesson today from Pastor Jeff's new 8-message series called Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil. If you missed any of these lessons so far, you can always catch up online at fromhisheart.org. There you can download a free MP3 of any broadcast. Now, though, open your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 18. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what to do in life when we come to a fork in the road.
Years ago, I ran across a story of a man who was traveling. He was a very experienced traveler. He was driving in his pickup truck, and he was driving in an area that wasn't very familiar to him, but didn't bother him at all. He was just tooling along. Everything was going well. And as he drove, he came to a fork in the road. And he knew he wanted to go to the right because that was the direction where he needed to be. But there was a sign there on the right that said road closed. And it had a detour sign to the left. You need to go this way because this road is closed. And he thought, well, I don't want to go all the way around there. That's not going to be good. I'm going to get delayed on my arrival where I'm going, and that looks like it's way out of the way. I'm not going to go there. He looked down the road, and he said, that looks fine. There's no reason why that road should be closed. And so he blew off the sign, and he went down the road closed road. And it was going well for a mile, for 2 miles, for 3 miles. Everything was fine. He said, see, there's nothing wrong with this road. Me and my truck, we can get through this. And then he came to a chasm, and the bridge was out. And he said, crud. That's why the road was closed. And he turned around and he had to drive back 3 miles. And he finally got to that starting point, that fork in the road. And on the backside of the sign that said road closed, detour this way, were these words: welcome back, stupid. Welcome back, stupid. You know, we're a lot like that man. We think we know best. We think that we can make a way where there seems to be no way. We're in a series called Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil. And today we want to talk about a fork in the road. A fork in the road of life. Hey, what do you do when you're going your way and then you come to a situation, you come to a decision, you come to some kind of a fork in the road, and there's a sign that says God's way, and there's a sign that says my way? Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. I go my way. What do you do when there's a decision between God's way and your way? We live in a world today where people have pretty much said phooey on God's way. We're going to go our own way. And as the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The word for fools in Romans 1:22 is the same word we get our English word moron from. Professing themselves to be wise, they became morons. And that kind of describes our world today. It's a bunch of morons with big degrees and PhDs. But they said, we don't want to go God's way. We're going to go our own way, and we know better than God does. In the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel was the prophet and the priest to the Jews who were in exile in Babylon. And they were in exile in Babylon, because of the sins of the people. They sinned against God and sinned against God and sinned against God, and God sent prophet after prophet after prophet saying, you guys need to turn around. You're going in the wrong direction, and you need, the bridge is out on the road that you're going, the bridge is out. But they blew God off. They blew off the prophets of God. They kept going down that road, and you know what they found? They found devastation. They found judgment, just like God had said they were going to find. And so here comes Ezekiel. He's in exile with the Jews that were in Babylon. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he destroyed the city of Jerusalem. He burned it with fire, destroyed Solomon's temple, just left it a waste place, and took back thousands and thousands and thousands of people back to Babylon. Well, these people in Babylon, they're saying, man, we got ripped off. They had a proverb that they would say, and this is what the proverb said. The fathers eat the sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. The fathers eat all the candy, and we, the children, have all the cavities. That's just not fair, God. And they accused the thrice holy God of Israel of being not fair, not right, and not acceptable. Ezekiel chapter 18 is a great chapter in the Old Testament about personal responsibility. For the Lord says, the soul that sins shall surely die. The father doesn't pay for the son's sins. The son doesn't pay for the father's sins. Each one stands alone before the Lord. But in verse 25 of Ezekiel chapter 18, the scripture says this, yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O Israel, O house of Israel, is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? They say, God, you're not fair. You're not just. You're not doing right. And your ways are not right. Now, that word ways is used over and over hundreds of times in the Old Testament. That word means a road, a path, a direction, a manner, a course, a moral character. The road of God, the path of God, the moral character of God, the direction of God, the way God does things, they were saying, is not right. It's not balanced. It's not square. It's not straight. It's like a scale at the deli counter that is weighted incorrectly, that cheats you. That's what they were saying about God. The way of the Lord is not right. And God says, you're saying my way is not right? Is it not your way that is not right? And so it is today. People, they may not verbalize it this way, but they say in their hearts, fully on the way of the Lord, I'm going this way. Even though God says that way leads off a cliff. I want you to notice with me two truths from that idea of the two ways. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It might seem right that you can blow past the sign that says road out, road closed. It might seem right that you can travel there, and you might be able to travel there for a little while, but eventually you're going to run out of road because the bridge is out going that way. And that might seem right to you, but what's the end of that way? Death. The end of that way is death. So two truths. First truth, the devil wants you to think that God's way is all wrong. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O Israel, is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? The lie from the devil is God's way is all wrong. Now, where do we get that from? We get that from Genesis chapter 3. I mean, the people are saying it in Ezekiel chapter 18, but the whole concept that God's ways are not right, that comes from the devil in Genesis chapter 3. When he slithers onto the pages of scripture in Genesis 3 into the Garden of Eden, and he says to Eve, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit that is in the middle of the garden, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we can't eat from it, nor touch it, lest we die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Hey, you don't want to go God's way, Eve. Let me tell you something. God's a liar, Eve. God says you're going to die if you eat that fruit? No, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. There are no consequences for disobeying God. And actually, you got to understand something. You can't trust God because God's holding out on you, babe. I mean, God said that the best is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you eat of that tree, you're going to be like God. And you'll know good and evil. And God doesn't want you to be like him. So God is keeping the best from you. Remember this. God doesn't keep the best from you. God keeps the best for you. Big, big difference. But the devil will say, no, God's keeping the best from you. And the lie of the devil is this. God is restrictive, God is dated, God is unfair, and God is boring. That's a big lie. All slamming the character of God and the personhood of God. I mean, God, he hems you in. God says, he makes all these trees and then says, you can't eat from any tree of the garden. That was his twisting of what God had said, because God had said, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat. But he says that, you know, God is really restrictive. He's trying to hem you in, and he's so old-fashioned, this God. I mean, get with it. We hear that today. I mean, you Christians, I mean, you need to get with it. You study this old, ancient book. God is outdated, and God is so unfair. That was the charge that they leveled against God. God's a crooked scale at the grocery store, at the deli counter. I mean, God just cheats you. He's unfair. He's unrighteous. His ways are unjust. And you know what? God is boring. He is lame-o. That's the lie of the devil. And you know what? People believe that. You know why? Because lots of people have grown up in church, and that church was so boring. It is a sin to be boring. It's a sin to be boring, especially as a pastor. If you're boring, and I've heard some guys, they're pretty boring. You know, you, in a congregation like that where you have the boring preacher, the people are bored. Well, why are the people bored? Because the preacher's bored. Because in lots of instances, the preacher doesn't really know the Lord. He hasn't spent time with the Lord. He's not sharing anything out of his heart. He's just reading a script and this blah, 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 blah. Who gets excited about that? I tell people all the time, hey, if you're up there teaching people and you're not excited about what you're saying, why should they get excited about it? So that's the lie of the devil. I remember talking to a guy in college. He was in a fraternity. He was big on the party scene. I was talking to him about his relationship with the Lord. He didn't have one, and he didn't want one. And we began to talk about, and I knew how his mind was thinking. You're talking to me about giving my life to Jesus? Well, then I would be saying no to fun, no to pleasure, no to thrills. I mean, what do I do if I gave my life to Jesus? I come to Bible study and I sit around in a circle with a bunch of losers and we sing Kumbaya. Well, who wants to do that? I don't want to do that. I mean, what does Billy Joel say? I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. Sinners are much more fun. And we have this idea that it's so much more fun to go the devil's way, because God's way is just stiff and stodgy and boring and yawner, and there's just no excitement in it. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. You know why people came by the thousands to hear Jesus? You know why little kids lined up to sit in his lap? Because in him was life. Man, everywhere it went, it's like, Dad, we never heard anybody talk like this. And when he finally peeled back the veil of his humanity and let Peter, James, and John see him for who he really was, they were stupefied. They were dumbfounded. They said, he just began to shine like the sun, and they didn't know what to say. The scripture says Peter didn't know what to say, and he said, Lord, it's good that we're here. We'll build a tent for you and for Elijah and for Moses, as they appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Lord is not boring, but the devil would want you to think that. And here's what the devil does, and this is how he works. Not only does he say that God is restrictive and dated and unfair and boring, but he says this, you know, when it comes to the forbidden, if it looks good and feels good, it is good and it is right. And so here's Eve. You shall not surely die, he says. For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. And it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Man, that looks good. That it was a delight to the eye. Wow, look at that thing. Now, we don't know what it was. You know what? We all say it's an apple. You know what the Jews say the forbidden fruit was? The Jewish rabbis? A pomegranate. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to take a bite of a pomegranate. I don't think it was a pomegranate. I don't know what it was. But she saw that it was good for food, that it was delight to the eyes, that it was desirable to make one wise. And she took from the tree and ate and gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked and sewed fig leaves together to hide and cover their nakedness. Now, I want you to think about this. See, she started saying this tree is, man, it looks good. Once the devil gets you to fixate on the forbidden, you're in trouble with a capital T. This looks good. Man, I bet it tastes good. It's good for food. Oh, I bet that'd make me big and strong. It's desirable to make one wise. It's a delight to the eyes. And everything said, eat, eat, eat. It's good. It's good. And if it looks good and feels good, it is good. It can't be wrong if it feels so right. And she ate and gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And you know what? The scripture doesn't say this, but I believe this is true. When they ate that forbidden fruit, it tasted good. It tasted good because sin tastes good. There's pleasure in sin, but the Bible tells us it's a passing pleasure. Moses didn't choose. He chose ill treatment with the people of God, Hebrews chapter 11, rather than choosing the passing pleasures of sin. Sin always has pleasure with it. It's all the pleasure on the front end, and then it comes loaded with misery on the back end. The prodigal son is a good example. When he took his father's inheritance and he went and he wasted his wealth on harlots, he was having fun. He was partying it up. It was fun, but then the money ran out and the fun ran out and the famine hit and he ends up in the pigsty. That's where sin always goes. You blow past the sign that says road is closed and you go and everything is good for a while until you hit no bridge, nowhere to go, and now I'm in trouble. So that is the devil's lie. He wants you to think God's way is all wrong. But the second truth, the Lord wants you to know that his way is always right. It's always right. Now, many of us have a GPS on our phone. You know, that's one of the greatest inventions, isn't it, GPS? Yeah, that's a godsend for me because I am directionally challenged. I don't know about any of you, but I just can't figure it out. I mean, just my normal sense of direction. If I hit a T in the road, am I supposed to go left or supposed to go right? I don't know. Flip a coin. I just don't know. And my daughter Amy is just like me. Debbie tells Amy, when you don't know which way to go and you think you need to go left, go right. Go right. You just go against what you think. And Amy does that. And she said, you know, Mom's, I always get to the right spot. I just go against whatever I think. And some people are directionally challenged. I'm directionally challenged. And when it comes to life, all of us are directionally challenged. And we need for the Lord by his Spirit and by his word to guide us. As it says in the book of Isaiah, your teacher will come and your teacher will speak a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And God does that through his Spirit and through his word. Now, the Lord wants us to know that his way is always right. In Psalm 19, we read these words. In the ERV, the easy to read version. The Lord's teachings are perfect. They give strength to his people. The Lord's rules can be trusted. They help even the foolish become wise. The Lord's laws are right. They make people happy. The Lord's commands are good. They show people the right way to live. Learning respect for the Lord is good. It will last forever. The Lord's judgments are right. They are completely fair. That's the Lord's law, the Lord's commands. They're good, they're right, they're perfect. And you want to be happy? then do what the Lord says to do, because his way is always right. Always right. Now, you mark it down. You are blessed and happy when you stop debating and start obeying. When you stop debating and start obeying, you say, stop debating. What do you mean, stop debating? Well, so many people debate in their hearts as it relates to what God says to do. As they hit the fork in the road and they say, well, I can go this way. This way seems right to me, but God says go this way. And they're like, I just don't know. I don't know if that's right. Maybe that's not right. And they deliberate and debate in their hearts whether the word of God is right or not. Let me give you a scripture verse. Psalm 119, verses 47 and 48. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. I lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. Now, in the Old Testament, when you would lift up your hands, you did that to pray and to praise. But now I want you to think about this, too, because we know universal sign for surrender is this. So I lift up my hands to your commandments, and I praise you for those, Lord, and I surrender myself to your commandments. We don't do that so much of the time. We definitely don't do that in America. We don't do that in our world today. We don't surrender to God's commandments.
Well, Pastor Jeff Shreve has just explained how important it is to possess an attitude of surrender when it comes to God's commands that we find in the Bible, and you're faced with a fork in the road. That's the title of today's message on From His Heart from Pastor Jeff Shreve and his series, Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil. Hey, when the times come in your life when you have to make a decision to go God's way or your way, does your faith take a beating? Are the devil's schemes convincing you that God is just giving you a friendly suggestion about the best way to go and it's not really binding? Well, there is no question that every time that happens, trouble is soon to follow. Now, maybe in your life, your faith has been challenged and compromised many times, and you'd like to change that pattern. Well, Pastor Jeff Shreve's most popular booklet called Strong Faith for Tough Times, When the Impossible Meets God, would be a great encouragement to you. And it's our gift of thanks for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. If you're able to support From His Heart with a gift of $50 or more, we'd also like to send you Pastor Jeff's new 8-message series called Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil. It's available in 4 formats, CD, DVD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive. Both of these resources will speak truth into your life and encourage you to stand strong in your faith when those forks appear in your travels. Just request them when you make your gift by calling 866-40-BIBLE. That's 866-40-BIBLE. Or go to fromhisheart.org. Listen, nothing could be more comforting during tough times than knowing that God's people are praying for you. And we want to invite you to go to our website and click the prayer link on the homepage. There you can leave a prayer request and people from around the world will pray with you. And you'll also receive an email alert when they do if you choose that option. It is completely anonymous. Go to fromhisheart.org and click the prayer link. Well, our time is gone for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us, and we pray that you'll be here tomorrow for part 2 of this lesson, and it's a practical one from Pastor Jeff's fake news series called A Fork in the Road. Here's just a bit of what you'll hear next time.
So maybe you're down the road of the wrong way. You know what you can do? You can turn from those ways. You can get yourself back on the Lord's path. God wants to forgive. That's the heart of God. And it breaks God's heart to see so many people travel down the wrong road.
Join us on Wednesday when Pastor Jeff Shreve will open up God's Word to share real truth, love, and hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.